Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang. So we are now in the 25th chapter of Prema Vahini, and Bhagwan today has blessed us to have Mr. Bhagya again with us as we discuss this chapter where Bhagwan is talking about Vanaprastha and about how to manage the controls within and without. In the previous session, we had Bhagya sir who started deliberating on this subject. We heard the first segment of chapter 25. So without losing any more time, let me play for you the second segment and then we will listen to Mr. Bhagya and his ruminations on this subject coming from his own personal interactions with Bhagwan as well as his life's experiences. We also have in the studio for this program Brother Sai Giridhar, who has been with us in many episodes of Vahini Satsang. So let's listen to the second segment of chapter 25.
ఇట్టి నిబంధనలతో జ్ఞానోదయం ఎట్లు వచ్చును? ఇవి కేవలము శరీర నిబంధనలే కదా. తత్వావిష్కరణ వల్ల జ్ఞానోదయము ప్రాప్తించవచ్చును, కాని అట్టి ఆత్మానుభవము చేకూర్చు తత్వమును పొందనిది జ్ఞానమెట్లొబ్బును? అట్టి జ్ఞానము లేక మోక్షమెట్లు ప్రాప్తించును అని చాలామంది వాదింతురు. అది చాలా పొరపాటు. ఇట్టి శరీర నిబంధనతో వాసనారాహిత్యం ఏర్పడి ఏకాగ్రత కుదురును. అట్టి ఏకాగ్రతను బలపరిచి అభివృద్ధి చేయ ఉపనిషద్వాక్యములు తోడ్పడును. క్రమక్రమేణా అట్టి ఉపనిషద్వాక్యానుభవములే జ్ఞానోదయమును చేకూర్చును. అసలు ఉపనిషద్వాక్యములు జ్ఞానస్వరూపములే కదా. అట్టి స్వరూపముల చెంతచేరి అనుభవ రూపమున ఆచరించుతుండినా ఇంక జ్ఞానమును వెతుకుట అనవసరము కదా. అట్టి జ్ఞానమును సులభముగా హృదయమును ప్రతిష్ఠించుకున్నటకు ఏకాగ్రత ప్రధానము. దానిని పై శరీర నిబంధనతో తపః ప్రభావముతో సులభముగా జయించవచ్చును. బహిర్ముఖ నిబంధనలు అంతర్ముఖ నిబంధనలకు ఎంతయో తోడ్పడుచున్నవి. ఈ రెండింటినీ పట్టిచూడ అంతర్ముఖ నిబంధనల కంటెను బహిర్ముఖ నిబంధనలను జయించుట కష్టము. చేతిలో ఉన్న కారు స్టీరింగు ఏ మార్గమును పట్టి త్రిప్పుదురో చేతికి సంబంధములేని చక్రములు అదే మార్గముననే పరుగెత్తును. స్టీరింగు ఒకవైపున త్రిప్పినా చక్రములు మరొక వైపు వెళ్లవు. అంతర్ముఖ భావములైన చక్రములు బహిర్ముఖ స్టీరింగుపైననే ఆధారపడినవి. ఇది సహజాధారము. ఒక్కొక్క సమయమున స్టీరింగు ఒకవైపు లాగినా చక్రములు మరొకవైపు ఈడ్చును. అది సహజధర్మమును వదిలి ప్రవర్తించుట. అంతర్ముఖ చక్రములలో సరి అయిన సారముగానుండు గాలి నిలువలేకుండినా అట్లు ఒకదానికొకటి సంబంధము లేకపోవును. ఎట్లుండినను స్టీరింగుకు మించిపోలేదు. చేతిలో ఉన్న స్టీరింగుకు తన క్రిందనే ఉన్న చక్రములకు సంబంధమున్నది. అట్టి సంబంధమే లేకున్నా ప్రయాణమే జరగదు. సంబంధము లేక ఉండ నేరదు. కాన బహిర్ముఖ వృత్తులలో ఆరితేరి అరికట్టిన వానికి అంతర్ముఖ వృత్తులు అణగి స్వాధీనములో నిలవగలవు.
Many argue how this discipline can result in the dawn of knowledge. They ask, are these not merely bodily restrictions? The dawn of wisdom happens with the realization of the principle. But unless you realize the principle which confers the experience of the Atma, how can wisdom ever be attained? And if this wisdom is not there, how can one attain moksha? This is what they argue. This is a big mistake. Through these physical regulations, vasanas or tendencies are destroyed and concentration is established. The Upanishadic statements serve to foster and strengthen this one-pointedness. Slowly, step by step, the experience of the Upanishadic statements alone bring about the dawn of wisdom. Are not Upanishadic statements wisdom itself? When you have such a wisdom as your companion, and when you have experienced this in your actions, then where is the need to search for wisdom elsewhere? To firmly establish such wisdom in the heart, one-pointedness is essential. This can easily be gained by the above-mentioned bodily disciplines and tapas. External restrictions greatly help internal control in many ways. To succeed in external controls is, by comparison, more difficult than to achieve success in controlling the internal. A turn of the steering wheel in one's hand in any direction makes the wheels of the car, which are not in one's hand, move in the same direction. The wheels will not turn in another direction when the steering is turned in one. The introspective wheels are based on the extrospective steering itself. This is the natural basis. Sometimes, when the steering is turned in one way, the wheels may drag another way. But this is against the normal nature of things. Air is the essence for the internal wheels. If it is not there in the right measure, they may behave as if they have no relationship with the steering. At the same time, they cannot go beyond the bounds of the steering. The steering in the hand is related to the wheels below. If there is no such relation, the journey becomes impossible. This connection is inevitable. Therefore, for the one who has struggled with the external tendencies and subdued them, the internal tendencies become easily controllable.
So that is where the second segment ends. Well, Bhagwan concludes this segment by saying that for the one who has struggled with the external tendencies and subdued them, the internal tendencies become easily controllable.
Yes. I think Bhagwan's educational system, and particularly when I see how students are made to stay in the hostel with the constrained resources, that itself reveals that what Bhagwan has said already implemented for our upliftment. Few incidents. Swami, once he said that when child misbehaves, mother, even if she beats the child, it is her dharma. Mm-hmm. It is for good of a child.
Yes.
Otherwise, his tendencies will not just improve. There may be different components of sattva, rajas and tamas guna in a child. So mother knows that sometime it may be necessary to get rid of the tendencies which are not good for the child. Similarly, I would give another example of hostel schedule. What Bhagwan has said, made, that students, irrespective of their backgrounds, their previous habits, they have to get up early morning, 5 o'clock, and follow the tight schedule of the day, because if the body is not given difficulties, mind will not yield. Swami said, you are all vidyarthi, not vishayarthi. So you have to live in the constrained condition or limited resources. Likewise, I can go on another example which again Bhagwan has given beautifully. He said, your body and the mind can be compared as if water in a glass.
Mm-hmm.
Water is mind and glass is body. He said, if you want to make the water steady, which is the mind, just a little diversion, to reach the goal, mind is a key. Now, mind, the two impurities, basic impurities in the mind are the dirty, or maybe the physical impurities, and second, supposing in a pond, water may be dirty, we cannot see the bottom. Water may be clean, but if it is waves, then also we cannot see the bottom. Bottom represents transcending the mind, going beyond that. And body, let us come back to the glass and water. If water has to be made steady, that means mind, you have to keep the glass steady. If the glass is not made stationary, then water cannot be made stationary.
Correct.
So in order to make mind little more control condition, first you have to control the body. So that's the reason Bhagwan always believed in giving attention to the physical aspects of our living. Once Swami caught hold of a boy and seeing that his haircut was not proper, he hadn't shaved properly, clothes were not ironed, and he did not appear very bright in this physical appearance point of view. Then Swami really made him realize. He saw his nails, they were not cut properly.
Mm-hmm.
Teeth, they were not, our mouth was not smelling fresh. So Swami pointed each and everything. I was wondering, then I asked Swami, Swami, we are paying so much attention to the external appearance of the students or our body, but actually we have to transcend the body. He said, see, things which boy can see himself, if he is not able to discipline those things, many things which are beyond body, which he cannot see, like mind, thoughts, or emotions, feelings, how can he control that?
And what is obvious he is not able to do.
Exactly. So, my eyes were open. I was thinking that it's not the physical torture which Bhagwan gives to the student. Even to the devotees, which I said last time also,
yes,
he used to make sit outside under rain or sun so that we transcend the yes. body attachment.
Yes.
So, few other things I can go on. Even Raman Maharishi, he used to suggest sitting at one point, and his method was self-inquiry. He said you should have one-pointed attention, focused attention on one item, one thing. And he himself used to sleep on the terrace when it was asked that how he did it. He used to sleep on the terrace and in the sky he will focus his attention on one star.
Wow.
So by doing that, you forget that you have a body.
You become one with that star.
One with the star. All the time.
Yes.
So it is very important to first keep the body in a balanced condition, in the sense it should not create a problem drawing your conscious attention on body. Once that is steady or made in a good condition, then it is easy to transcend the body, go beyond body. For instance, all the listeners, including me, we are now focusing attention only on what I am talking and the listeners, what they are listening. I don't think unless we have some body organ problem, otherwise our attention is focused only on the talk. So that means we have already transcended the body. When the body is under my control, then it will not require further attention. Meaning, I have seen that how I am able to go even beyond the convenience of the body. I have to pay attention only to my one-pointed, that, for instance, talk. That means you are experiencing to go beyond body.
For example, if you were hungry.
Yes.
And the program started. And perhaps you were feeling, having those pangs of hunger before the program began. But once you start the program and once you're talking, perhaps that hunger just disappears.
Exactly.
And it'll come back again after an hour. Because you have... During that 1 hour, you had one pointed focus. So in some ways, you transcended those urges of the body.
Exactly. So, similarly, even in Shastras, Vedas, they say body is made up of five koshas, five layers, sheets.
Correct.
And body doesn't mean only physical body. Annamaya kosha is physical body. Then manomaya kosha. Then pranamaya kosha and so on. So, it is very important to control the annamaya kosha. Annamaya kosha. Very interesting thing happened once.
Mm-hmm.
Swami, in one of the interviews, he told me, what are you doing? I said, Swamiji, I'm a chemical engineer, so-and-so, and working in your college for MBA department as a professor. Then, before he could ask me anything, I said, Swamiji, I want to ask you one thing. So what? Swamiji, I know that you are avatar. And when you are physically in front of me, there's no need for me to remind that, oh, God is there. And the along with God, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. But Swamiji, when I'm away from your physical frame, why do I forget? Then Swami didn't want to give me the answer so quickly. He said, that is Maya.
Mm-hmm.
That is your past tendencies. What do you think of yourself? You think that you are greater than Vashishta and Vishwamitra? They also forgot. They were also trapped in Maya. They treated Lord Rama also as a human being. You think you are greater than them? I said, Swamiji, I am not comparing myself with those sages. I am talking about myself. That why do I forget? Then, when Swami saw that I am quite determined and prayed to him to give me the answer, he said, see, the vasanas which you bring, you cannot change them so easily now. Then, but there are other factors which will increase your willpower. I said, Swamiji, your grace is very important. With grace, everything is possible. He said, my grace is continuously there. Depending upon your vessel, you will collect the grace. But unfortunately, there are holes through which the grace flows out.
Oh.
There are outlets. You have to plug those outlets. I said, Swamiji, what exactly? He said, you are a chemical engineer. The chemistry of your mind depends upon the food.
Mm-hmm.
He said, the food which we take through mouth, it is most of it goes as a waste material next day. And the subtle, the grass part is waste. The subtle part is converted into the muscles and blood. The subtlest part is converted into your thoughts. So you want to control your mind. Mind is nothing but bundle of thoughts. In order to control the thoughts, the quality of the thoughts will depend upon the food you take in. Therefore, be careful. Eat always sattvic food. Before I could ask anything, he himself said, sattvic food doesn't mean only eating fruits, nuts, vegetables, and curd rice, milk. No. Sattvic food has many other dimensions. Like, it depends upon how the ingredients were procured. It also depends upon who cooks the food, who serves you the food, in what environments you are partaking that food. All these things will have impact on your thoughts. Then, can I continue a little more? Yeah, because I thought maybe
please continue.
Yeah, you're free to interrupt me. And
we are very attentively, intently
listening to sir.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Then Swami said, that it is more important what comes out from the mouth. I said, Swami, meaning? He said that that means what you speak, that is also very, very important. Your speech should be sweet, soft, not hurting anybody, not telling lies. So he was, then at that point, I understood that sense control is very important, but most important thing is the mouth, the tongue. Then he said, if you are able to control the tongue, you will automatically get the strength to control even other senses.
Mm-hmm.
Then he came, said, food doesn't go only through your mouth, through other senses also, like what you see during the day also will have influence on your thought process. What you hear, what you touch, what you smell, what you taste, all these determine the quality of your mind. And these are the ways you lose the grace. These are the holes, drains. Therefore, you have to be very careful throughout the day. What are the people you talk to? How many people you meet? You shake hands with so many people. Then he said, what you see through your eyes. Students generally, they waste their energy by unnecessarily reading or watching movies or television. That also is a drain through which my grace goes away. Then he said, what thoughts you have entertained, what books you have read, what people you have spoken, all these things formulate or the composition, I mean, of the mind determined by all these factors. So it is in your hand. He said, when you people come here, you come with a disease. I was wondering, what disease? He said, I can cancel the cancer in no time. But you people come with a mental cancer for which you have to work yourself. So, unless we put efforts, then I said, Swami, everything can happen with your grace. He said, yes, but to earn the grace, you have to put efforts.
Put effort.
Without that, you can't say, see, potato chapatis on your table. You say, potato chapati. Your hunger, will it be satisfied? You have to take it, put it in your mouth, chew it, and swallow it, then I'll do the job. Then consciousness does the job.
Yes.
So, these are the ways we have to earn His grace. Once you earn His grace, then it is very easy. But you have to strictly follow His instructions. So, I don't know whether, I think when I look at
wonderful,
you,
sir.
Yeah, you have something to add or...
No, definitely. I think, you know, all the points that you mentioned about the routine in the hostel, and I think that is something also which struck me in the first place when I read what Bhagwan has mentioned here, because I think everything that is written in Prema Vahini, you know, you see that in some way Bhagwan has given a practical illustration of everything that he has mentioned.
Correct.
In the institutions that he has set up.
Mm-hmm.
And here, when Bhagwan is talking about having the control of the externalities and how that will help to strengthen your internalities, and it is these internalities, when they are strengthened, which will lead to concentration, and only a concentrated mind can cognize the divine. A distracted mind can never visualize the divine. And I think that is the whole process
exactly
that Bhagwan has mentioned here. And when you were mentioning about how Bhagwan used to emphasize on controlling these externalities, I was reminded of my school days again, when Bhagwan, every time he used to speak to us, these two words sort of have remained forever, because I remember whether he came to the school hostel, whether there was veranda interactions, whether it was an interaction session inside the interview room, Swami would always say, talk less. Talk less, have less connections. I mean, those were, at least during my school days,
yes, yes.
That was all the time Swami used to mention that. Talk less, talk less, talk less. And I remember so many of my classmates, I mean, including me, you know, we used to have these monum days, you know, we would decide, okay, we will not talk the entire day, you know. So many boys had their own monum days. And so we thought, you know, what does Swami want? Swami wants that we should talk less. So, you know, that is what will make Swami happy, you know. At that age, I mean, that is the way Bhagwan sort of put us onto the path.
Yeah.
You know, we have to take those baby steps. We didn't understand all this connection that Swami is explaining here about the externalities and the internalities,
yeah.
The steering wheel, you know. So beautifully Swami has explained it here. But I think that is how Swami put us onto this path. And in fact, I just remember one incident, and after that I'll leave it to Brother Giridhar. Probably he also will remember many such things in the hostel. There was this boy, Brother Amitav Das Gupta, who was thinking, you know, Swami is stressing so much about talking less. One day Swami actually came to him and Swami said, "Hey boy, you're talking less. You're talking too much." And he said, "Okay, fine, I'll keep quiet," you know. So he started reducing his talking. And he was actually quite a dynamic person. He was an athlete and he was very good in academics. And he participated in a lot of extracurricular activities. And so for him, actually, to not talk was not easy.
It's a punishment.
Yeah, very difficult. But he started doing this. And after a few days, again, Bhagwan came to him and Swami said, "Hey boy, you're talking too much." And he thought, "Swami, come on. I mean, I have reduced so much." And he looked at Swami very incredulously and said, "I mean, what do you mean? I've reduced my talking." Swami said, "Talking means what? Reduced talking means how sages and saints used to be. Thought, word, deed. Completely, you should not talk." And so that stuck him and he said, okay. He came back to the hostel and he thought, you know, it's really difficult. And I mean, why do I have to do this? I'm not some sage saint. I'm not going to become a rishi.
Mm-hmm.
Why is Swami asking me to do this? And, you know, he was thinking, should I do this or not? And then he thought, okay. He had a deal with Swami. He said, "Okay, Swami, I'll do, you know. But what's in it for me? I mean, why should I do it? Let's have a deal."
Mm-hmm.
"So, I'm going to ask for something really impossible. Okay? If that does not happen, then I know that I don't have to do all these things." You know? So he thought, what could that impossible thing be? So he thought, okay, maybe I will say, "Swami, okay, at the end of 15 days, you should create vibhuti for me." But that is natural. It might just happen that Swami would have created vibhuti as a coincidence also. It's nothing really unusual. Or that Swami would, you know, take a letter. Even that he didn't seem was something really out of the world. He wanted something. It's absolutely impossible. And if it doesn't happen, then it is even good for him. That he doesn't have to do all these things. And that's when he thought long and hard. And then he decided, okay, this is good. He said, "Swami, at the end of 15 days, you're going to take me in your car for a ride." And he was like in 12th class, 12th grade, and it's impossible. I mean, in those days, I remember only extremely important people. Even if prime ministers came, also Swami would send the car with the driver to receive them. But, you know, they would not be sitting in Swami's car.
Yeah.
You know, it would be always the person who's serving Swami who would be sitting in Swami's car. Otherwise, generally, nobody sits.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very rare occasions,
right.
Maybe a member of the trust would be sitting.
Yeah.
So he thought, you know, this is something like 99.99 chance this is not going to happen. And so, but he was sincere. He started his 15 days before New Year, he started this sadhana, and very difficult for him just to not talk. And he used to talk only when the teachers would ask him to anything, you know. Otherwise, that would be disrespect. Swami would not like that. So only when the teachers in the hostel or the school asked him anything, he would open his mouth. And otherwise, he would keep quiet. And 1 week passed, and then it was time for Christmas. And the Christmas morning, in those days, we used to have the silver door darshan.
Yes.
And so Bhagwan came out, you know, this candlelight and all that. And somehow, Amitabh, when he saw that Christmas darshan, he was so enraptured. He was feeling that he is in heaven because somehow that darshan was so captivating for him that when he went back to the hostel, he just could not control himself. He started talking to all the boys about the joy of that darshan. Did you see? I mean, it was so fantastic. Amazing darshan, yaar. He just came out. Unconsciously, he started talking and then he realized, oh my God, I thought I will not open my mouth. Hmm. And you know, only if 1 week is over and just one more week is left. And so that is when he thought, okay, fine. But I didn't do it intentionally. So then he decides to still continue the sadhana. And New Year comes. You know, it's a long story. Just to make it a little brief. And there was another boy, his classmate, who was in the hospital. And Swami used to inquire about that boy very frequently. And that boy used to send letters to Swami through Amitabh. And so many times he would take these letters, and as New Year was approaching, that boy wanted to come for darshan, but the doctors were not allowing him because his health was really precarious. And at that point in time, on 30th, you know, Amitabh gives a letter from Pawan, who was in the hospital, and Swami himself asked, can he come? And the doctor said, no, Swami, he's really not in a condition to come. And so on the morning of the New Year, first New Year, lot of crowd as usual,
yeah,
and all the festivities happening, and Swami sees Amitabh in the veranda as the program is concluding, and Swami says, hey boy, go to the hospital, I'm coming. And Amitabh sprints, because as he was an athletic champion actually, so he sprints to the hospital. Nobody knows. Swami just tells Amitabh and then calls the car, and they go to the hospital. And so he managed to reach before Bhagwan's car arrives. Perhaps only he reached, and he opens the car door and he welcomes Swami and takes Swami straight to where Pawan was there. And Swami spends 10 minutes with Pawan, and it's a big story about what was happening in Pawan's heart that drew Bhagwan to Pawan. And so Swami spends time with him. And then Swami comes down, Swami goes and blesses another child. Swami goes to the maternity ward. On the New Year, imagine the joy of all these patients. They're blessed with Bhagwan's darshan, unexpected blessings. And as everything is done, Swami's visit to the hospital, Swami is now getting into the car, and Amitabh is following behind. And Swami says, hey, come in, get in. And he's wondering, is it really him, you know? It just can't be that Swami is asking him to get into the car. There was actually Dr. Mr. Narasimhan, who was the editor of the Sanatan Sarthi, was there. So he thought probably Swami is asking him. So he pointed to him. Swami said, no, you get in. So, and so that is how he gets into the car. At that point, I was, it doesn't strike him, you know, he was in a maze, in a haze actually, what was happening to him. And so Swami then casually, you know, takes him, Swami asks him, what is your name? And he says, Amitabh. I says, I know Amitabh Bachchan. When he had that accident during that Coolie movie, he came, I gave Vibhuti, all that story Swami tells him. And then they go for a drive, and then they come back. Swami drops them, I think, in the hostel, and that is how, you know, the whole episode ends. And only, you know, many days later, you know, when he reflected on it, that is when it struck him, you know, that 115 days of that sadhana that he had done of being silent, mm-hmm. you know, and the deal that he had with Swami. So fantastically, so beautifully, Swami fulfilled it. You know, I think that was what Swami was doing, you know, at that age. You know, he was encouraging us, and he was going out of his way so that we become firm in these little baby steps, because ultimately this is what will strengthen our internalities. And today, you know, he's someone who's so connected with Bhagwan, you know, who an alumnus who listens to Radio Sai 24/7. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that is the story of so many of us. You know, Brother Giridhar also probably can corroborate to what I'm saying about what happened in the hostel. But I think this is what Swami's emphasis was, isn't it, Brother Giridhar?
Definitely, Brother Vishu. In fact, the hostel life is so transformative. You know, I can just look back into my own life's journey and see, before I joined Swami's portal in the 11th grade, I was studying outside in the city of Hyderabad. So if I look back at how my mental tendencies were, how my mindsets were, though because Swami's blessings, I have wonderful parents who have always, kept me on the spiritual path and always thinking about Swami, but still this inner purity and the stillness and the steadiness of mind is always a challenge in these external environments. A drastic change that I observed was what the hostel schedule did to all of us students, especially this Thursday Maunam that we used to have. It almost was like a competition.
Yes, absolutely.
Who would keep the Maunam for the longest period of time? And various other disciplines. For example, Swami used to come and then tell us, why are you all sitting like this with your backs bent?
Correct.
If you sit with your back bent now, when you grow old, he would make the shape with his finger and say, you will become a question mark.
Yes.
So your whole life. So like these, there are many, many...
So our life itself becomes a question mark.
Life itself becomes a question mark. So there are many such disciplines which Swami inculcated right from the morning. Omkaram, the habit of getting up early in the morning.
Absolutely.
In Brahma Muhurtam. In fact, today there are scientific studies to show that getting up that early in the morning is very, very good for the brain. It improves its ability to concentrate, its assimilation capacity, and the ability to analyze a situation without being too much perturbed by it is tremendously enhanced for those who get up early in the morning. And it also has many such physiological effects. Today, there are scientific studies also to show this. But seamlessly, the hostel schedule integrates all these factors. And as a result, what I observed was, it becomes very natural that the mind attains a very simple, sweet and silent state. There's always a sattvic quality about the mind, which is a result of following Swami's schedule, as Sir very nicely put it, without the sattvic state of mind, in fact, there is a Samakos discourse where Swami tells that mind has got three states. One is called Shunyatvam. Shunyatvam, of course, is not the no mind state here. Swami explains Shunyatvam as a state of mind where it is very lazy and dull. And he compares it to tamoguna. In fact, he says, if the food is of the quality of tamoguna, then the mind also becomes dull and dreary and sleepy. And hence, that is the shunyatva state of the mind. And the second state of the mind, Bhagavan explains, is anekagra. That is, there are so many thoughts coming and we are constantly running behind, different thoughts, and so we are so distracted and diverted. There's so much of loss of energy. In fact, there are many people who simply sit on chair. They're not physically moving, but they feel so tired at the end of the day because they're running behind every thought.
Yes.
It's lot more running than you actually
run.
when you do it physically. So you experience it yourself that you become tired, physically tired when you're running behind thoughts so much.
Even if you're there for a very important meeting and there's a lot of thinking happening.
Yeah, a lot of thinking and hearing.
Hearing.
In fact, even about talking, I remember this very clearly in one session in Kulwanthal, where in early 2000s, Swami used to just sit outside and speak for an hour or so to, all of us. In fact, Bhagya sir used to sit there right in front, along with Anil Kumar Garu and others. In one session, I vividly remember Swami telling this. He said, see, in the brain, there are elements which are similar to lasers. There's something like lasers. More you talk, the power of that laser diminishes. More you listen, also the power of the laser diminishes. So every sense has to be used only to a certain limited level.
Yes.
That is when all your faculties will be fine and you'll be functioning at your best of ability. Swami used to give all these, very, very simple looking, but actually important guidelines for, as Bhagwan describes here, for moksha.
Correct.
You know, for coming out of the cycle of birth and death, even these simple analogies which Swami gave is very, very, very important. Like sitting straight,
yes.
Talking less, listening also less, use of senses properly to its limited.
He used to say that there's a limited company. Everything within the limits.
Yes.
You can't cross the limits in both the ways.
Yes.
So, yes.
Yes. So, this second quality of the mind is anekagrita, where if the food, inputs taken through all the five senses is of rajasic nature, then the mind will be disturbed.
Yes.
So Bhagwan finally says, you have to take sattvic inputs through all the five senses.
Correct.
Then you attain the state of mind which is called ekagrata.
Hmm.
And without ekagra manas, without that still mind,
yes.
A silent mind, a sattvic mind, you cannot see what is at the depth of it. Just like Sir gave the beautiful energy of a pure,
yes.
clear lake like Manasarovar, where you can see what is at the core of it.
Yes.
And that core is revealed only if the lake is clean and pure and it is blessed. That is, there
yes.
are no disturbances or ripples
yes.
on it. That is the sattvic state of mind. And mind gets its inputs only through the five senses. If you look at it,
correct.
Even the past tendencies which you carry were, due to association with another body, which again accumulated these through the five senses. So the five senses are the doorways that, allow information to
exactly.
fill the mind, and those are what becomes become the thoughts, and that is what manifests as thoughts in us. There is one point though I would like to highlight here.
Please.
In this particular section, we should not miss attention on that. It's a very important point. Bhagwan says that all this discipline, in fact, he starts as if he's justifying what he has said in the previous section.
Yes.
He says, there are many who may question,
yes.
How come this physical discipline will result in the dawn of knowledge
yes.
that leads to liberation from the cycle of birth
yes.
and death, which is moksha. Many may ask, physical discipline is like hatha yoga, it's like what the military do. Do you mean to say then all military people are jnanis
mm.
because they are doing, physical discipline? So Bhagwan goes on to explain in the subsequent points that there are two aspects to this. And though the English translations we have used is extraneous and, intrinsic, the words that Swami uses is antarmukham and bahirmukham in Telugu.
Yes.
What does that mean is antarmukham and bahirmukham, and again two possibilities of the mind. And we should clearly understand here that when we say that we have to control the senses and the body is jada by itself. It's inert material. What drives the body is the mind.
Correct.
So there are two aspects of the mind. The physical, the mind that is influenced by physicality is a mind that is focused towards sense objects outside. The mind that is subtle and pure is the mind that is turned inwards towards the Atma or towards the self. So Bhagwan is telling here that you have to put a check on the bahirmukham nature of the mind. Because the body by itself cannot do anything. It's inert. Like you see in deep sleep, body cannot do anything. It's like a piece of log and it has no activity. But moment the mind, enters the body in either the waking state or in the dream state into the subtle body, what happens is you see that the body starts functioning. All the senses then start functioning. So the control of body is basically again control of the mind. Sir
yes.
very nicely defined again. He said everything is in the mind.
You know,
mano moolam idam jagat. And, it is karanam bandha mokshayo. It is
yes.
the reason for both bondage and liberation. So Bhagwan gives here this clarity that along with ekagra manas, there is another component which he has iterated, sir, in many discourses also,
mm-hmm.
where Bhagwan says that ekagratam and dhyanam. These two are very important. Like a bahirmukhi mind, an outward
yes.
Looking mind, may also be ekagra. For example, there are many great artists,
exactly.
great engineers,
yes.
great authors, So when they are doing their job, they are ekagra only. Means the mind is one-pointed.
Concentrated.
And it's concentrated on the activity. But yes, the dhyanam is on the outside object.
Yes.
It is not on divinity.
Yes. Yeah.
I remember this very clearly in a Kodai session where Bhagwan said, he was asking one of the elders, a very sweet, humble devotee of Swami, Mr. Raman,
yes,
you know, who was a state convener of Tamil Nadu.
Yes. Yes.
Swami was asking him, in the context of the Vashishta Gufa, Swami's visit to Shivananda Ashram and all in the 1960s, Swami was asking him and said, what, Raman, have you seen Shivananda? So, Mr. Raman said, no, Swami, I have not seen Shivananji. And then Swami asked, Purushottamananda? So he said, no, Swami, I have not seen Purushottamananda. All I know is only you, Swami.
Wow.
And then Swami said, idu okkati telusukunte chalu. If you know this one, it is enough. Ekoham bahusyam. This is what Bhagavan said. So, dhyanamu here means to divert our attention on Bhagwan. Which Bhagwan? Ekoham bahusyam. That
yes,
Bhagwan, that Swami, above whom there is no master.
Yes.
And hence he is Swami.
Yes.
And from him everything has come. So, he said, if you know this one, it is enough. So, along with ekagrita, dhyanamu is important. And hence, in
yes,
this chapter, Swami tells that the Upanishadic vakyas, tattvamasi, ayamatma brahma, aham brahmasmi, and prajnanam brahma,
they are only wisdom.
They are themselves wisdom. They are not ordinary words.
Yes.
And in Chandogya Upanishad, for example, when the father, Udalaka, tells his son Shvetaketu, tattvamasi, he was not talking words there. Because Udalaka himself was a great master of realization. He is the grandfather of Ashtavakra. So when he said tattvamasi, they were not mere words. They were wisdom being passed on by
yes,
Sadguru in that form of
yes,
Udalaka to the Sat Sishya who was Shvetaketu.
Yes.
And it is said in the Upanishad that at the end of, you know, nine times, just nine simple examples and nine times proclamation of tattvamasi, Shvetaketu attained perfect realization.
Wow.
Yes.
So these are not mere words.
Yes.
They are wisdom that is being transmuted by the Sadguru. In fact, at the end of
yes,
this chapter, Swami says that this the Manaprastha method which Swami has described here is not the only method
yes,
to attain moksha.
Yeah. Yes.
Any method that
yes,
that leads to attaining the grace of the
yes,
Lord
yes,
is indeed the destination
yes,
by
absolutely,
itself.
And in fact, that is the
yes,
the last part of this chapter.
Correct. Yeah.
I don't know whether we have time to...
No, I think we'll continue that next time
okay,
because we don't have the time for that. But definitely taking more two, three ideas from what Brother Giridhar was mentioning, these externalities, controlling the externalities. I'm thinking, okay, even if you forget, even if you keep the spiritual goal of life aside, you know, as you are also very rightly mentioning, you know, to achieve proficiency in anything that we do. For example, you know, we have this P.V. Sindhu, you know, who got a Olympic medal for India. I was reading about her, and she's someone who for years has got up at 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, and traveled for half an hour to reach the play and practice. So she's done that for years. I mean, you need that kind of... it was not that she was not walking on a bed of roses to achieve what she has achieved.
Or even in business people?
Absolutely.
Even to earn money.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, money is required.
Yes.
Only in the limited extent, as Swami says.
Yes.
But even for a businessman, right in the morning...
Yes.
Till night, he thinks only about business.
Correct.
And does he care about his comforts? I would like to pay attention, you to pay attention on just any simple thing you want to achieve in life.
Correct.
In fact, may I give one example?
Yes, sir.
Of, see, when I understood the goal of life is not just acquiring, amassing the wealth, position, power, influence, and I realize that I want to find out what the truth of life is, then with His grace, I was abroad and I came here, my relatives, my uncles, wife, uncle, they all were wondering, what do you want in your life? One uncle, wife's uncle, he said, are you a fool? Such a lucrative job you had, you left and you came here. Swami allowed me to come here in 86. So after a year or so, he asked me, what did you gain? I said, uncle, right from my childhood, I struggled for 18 years from first standard to chemical engineering. 18 years, it was a tapas. You ask my parents, we were quite from a poor family and I didn't have facilities. Even books I was getting from book banks. And then I got the degree, which in Swami's terminology is a begging bowl. So, 18 years I have done the tapas. Now, the first time Swami permitted me to touch his feet was 1982. Uncle, please give me 18 years at least to tell you what I got in my life. Mm-hmm. Because now I am asking or searching or trying to put efforts in the direction to get the ultimate degree. Please allow me for 18 years. Ask me after 2000.
Oh.
Year 2000. And really, it was such a wonderful thing that in year 2000, he made me, gave me the taste of what it is.
Oh, wow.
At that time, people were making fun of me that he's a maybe fool leaving such comforts in the world, and he came here. And when they saw the glory of Lord and how peaceful, how happy, blissful we lived here, we are still continuing, then they started finding, hey, there's something wrong. So much so, the company where I left, the managing director, once he came here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Swami knows exactly that he is Antaryami. On that particular day, in the morning hour, Sunday, Swami came, I think he would have spoken at least half a dozen times during morning session itself. So that gentleman had come with his group from Navi Mumbai. And after the bhajans, he caught me. Hey, Bhagya, you are here. You get darshan every time? I said, yes, not every day, but every time Swami comes out. He said, yes, I saw. Then he said, you know, since last 3 days we have been sitting here with my group, Swami has not come to our side at all. Now I realize, at that moment when you left the company, I thought you are the fool, greatest fool on earth. But now I realize you are the wisest person. Because we were still struggling to get the position, power, money, comforts, perks, and name, fame. You understood this all futile. Mm. And you, I said, no, it was all his grace. He pulled me.
Yes.
It was not my efforts. Because moment you understand what he wants to lead you to,
yes,
he will in fact create all the facilities, opportunities to come closer to him.
Correct.
And this physical form is for us, those who have lived with him, that physical form and the formless aspect which we cannot even imagine, we cannot even identify that, yes, I have seen self. No, but at least we have had the direct experience with Bhagavan, that is nothing but self. The only entity in the whole universe, I can say, that the formless and the form, it's one and the same thing. So, just to highlight the point,
yes,
even in the physical achievements,
yes,
worldly achievements, you have to struggle a lot. You have to, yes, torture your body.
Yes.
So, how can we say that for a spirituality, how will you receive or get the wisdom by just observing the controls on your physical
correct.
Body?
I mean, for achievements which are temporary,
exactly.
For that itself, when you have to put so much effort, and now you want a happiness which is lasting, you want something which is permanent, you want something which is enduring. So for that, definitely you have to put much more the effort. But I think the heartening thing is, because that is what Bhagwan wants us to proceed on, to aspire for that which is lasting, Bhagwan's push for us, Bhagwan's grace for us, Bhagwan's encouragement for us is much more sure. When you try to walk on the path that He has laid down
absolutely.
For us. I think he you know, if we put one effort, as Swami says, you take one step and I'll take 99 steps, that happens. If you are sincere, I think, to walk on the path that He is going. And I think that is the grace that I think all of us experienced, and anyone who is on the spiritual path, I think controlling the mind is difficult. You know, as you mentioned, you know, Bhagwan said, do you think you're greater than Vasishtha and Valmiki? So that is what generally is. But I think this, if you put that effort of prayer, if you put sincerely your efforts and, you know, you pine for His grace so that you can control the mind, and I think that is the best, safest and sure way of, I feel, getting control of our externalities. And once that happens, and I think internalities will blossom.
Yeah, I think maybe next time, as I asked you, there's a I would like to share the story. I don't mind because He has given me so much. We can, it's for everyone to enjoy. So next time.
Yes, sir, sure.
Really, I will tell you how so many years it took to follow what direction which Swami gave and what sort of obstacles, which they are not an obstacle, to overcome my own inner tendencies.
Yes.
And wrong understanding, which we call it the delusion, which next para Swami talks about
it. Yes.
So I didn't want to discuss now. It is highly interrelated, but
we'll continue
referring
that, sir.
Yeah, the next time
definitely.
We can elaborate on that. I don't know how much time we have now.
It's time to wind up now. So
Girdhar wants to contribute something.
Just to kind of summarize the whole thing, there are two words that are coming to me as summary of this beautiful discussion that we have had. As Swami in His Shirdi days had put it,
yes.
Shraddha and Saburi.
Yes.
In fact, Bhagwan in one of the summer course discourses again says Shraddha has two components, Asakti and Stiratvam. Stiratvam means stability.
Yes.
And asakti means deep yearning or deep
yes.
attachment. It's not the physical attachment, but deep yearning or deep
yes.
attachment. So, in summary, all the sattvic inputs that we take through the five senses and limited use of senses will give stiratvam or stability
mm-hmm.
of the mind. And love for God.
Absolutely.
Is what will give asakti towards
yes.
this
wow.
path of realization.
Yeah.
So Shraddha means, you know, actually practice of Shraddha is
yes.
to use the senses properly to gain stability of mind and love God intensely, because that will give direction to that stable
yes.
mind, or the dhyana to the ekagra
yes.
mind is given by that deep
Shraddha.
Love.
Labhate
Jnanam.
Yes.
So that is the essence of
absolutely.
Shraddha. And of course, in this practice, you need saburi, which is patience.
Yes.
So without purity, patience
true.
And perseverance,
yes.
You know, it is not possible.
Absolutely. Wonderful. So I think there is so much for all of us to ruminate on, the very, 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 very powerful things actually that we discussed. And dear listeners, I think it will be of immense use for us if we open the pages of Premavahini, and you know, as you read these chapters, you know, you can relate to it in your own way, because Bhagwan is there speaking to each one of us from within. As you listen to Bhagwan's discourses, you would always find that there is something specially that Swami is telling you. It's the same when you read Bhagwan's literature too. As you read the words that Bhagwan has written in Premavahini, there is a message of love that Bhagwan is giving you, and if we still our minds, we can listen to that, and that will become our Bhagavad Gita as we walk on this path towards the divine. So if you have any such beautiful insights that has helped you in your spiritual journey, please feel free to share with us. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. We'll pray to Bhagwan and continue this session. We have one more segment left before we conclude the 25th chapter of Prema Vahini. So we will definitely have that, and we'll pray to Bhagwan that Bhagya sir joins us for that session, because he definitely has so much more to share on this topic. So we'll offer this program at Bhagwan's lotus feet and pray that he guides our thought as we continue this discussion on his beautiful words. Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.